improv comedy, alive and well in Portland, Bangor, Augusta, Bar Harbor, and beyond. Improvisational comedy, improv, has been around for decades, but it's kind of having a moment right now. It may be because of the big stars who have emerged from the improv comedy scene. Think Tina Fey, Amy Poehler, Steve Carell, and Seth Rogen. Or maybe it's just a reaction to our stressful times with people craving something creative and fun. I'm Jennifer Rooks. People who love improv will tell you it's addicting. Today we'll hear from the leaders of three improv groups based here in Maine. We'll learn about different types of improv, where to see a show, and for those of you daring enough, where to take classes. We'll also learn how improv is used in educational and professional settings. Maine Calling makes it up as it goes along. But first, this news. From the Maine Public Radio studios, I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling. Improvisational theater, better known as improv, traces its origins to 4th century Italy. In more recent times, the famed Second City Comedy Club in Chicago has reignited its popularity. And improv is here in Maine in a big way. It is practiced in a variety of creative ways, and today we're going to learn about some of those. We're talking with some of the actors and directors who are shaping this world here in Maine. Joining me in our studio, Jen Shepherd, who is co-founder and owner of Improv Acadia. Aaron Curran is a member of Portland Playback Theater. Alan Adams is a member and co-owner of The Focus Group and also organizer of the Improv Me Festival. We invite you to join the conversation. Have you tried improv? Are you a fan? Our phone number 1-800-399-3566. You can send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to the Maine Calling Facebook page. Welcome to all of you. I have to ask you, did you know each other before today?
But I didn't know Aaron at all.
Yeah, Jen and I have known each other for a couple of years.
And they're both new to me.
Oh, okay. So I'm going to start by asking each of you, and I'll ask Aaron, how did you get started? How did you first find out about improv, try it, have the nerve to try it?
Yeah, I was working a job that, shall we say, was less than inspiring, and I sought out a beginning acting for beginners class taught by David LaGraff at the time at USM Continuing when they had a humanities division. And he was teaching acting for beginners. I got into it. We did a lot of improv games in that class. And then I got on his email list and I heard about Portland Playback Theater and went to a show and auditioned, and the rest is history.
Did you realize you kind of had a knack for this? Did you learn something about yourself?
I did. I had never done acting before. This was back in 2007, and I just fell in love with it. I fell in love with the challenge of, you know, just being present and really accepting offers, and the sort of verbal agility games we play with speaking gibberish, and just all the it's just a ride, you know, it's a roller coaster ride being present, and then especially in front of an audience. So I did fall in love with it.
Okay, your turn, Alan. How did you get into improv?
It's funny, actually. I had taken a couple of improv adjacent courses as a theater major.
Improv adjacent.
Well, yeah, I was a theater student, and so I had some classes that had some improv aspects, but weren't necessarily improv driven courses. And then kind of walked away from it for a while. And then a number of friends, we were all familiar with one another from doing stage work in Bangor at Penobscot Theater Company. And we kind of all came together with the idea, well, what if we gave improv a shot? And we had exactly one of us had any sort of actual improv training or experience. And we just started getting together and playing around and enjoying one another's company, making each other laugh. And I guess it just kind of, it snowballed from there. We've been going strong for almost 10 years now.
I was going to say, how many years ago? 10 years ago.
Yeah, it was January of 2009 when we first started meeting with one another.
Okay.
So.
Okay, Jen, your turn. And I understand Improv Acadia is been around for a while.
Yeah, we'll be celebrating our 15th season here on Friday, May 25th. And I guess I feel like the old lady of improv now. So I studied.
For the record, she does not look like the old lady of improv.
Thank you, Jennifer. You look great, too. So I moved to Chicago in 1994 after graduating from college. And I went there with the intention of pursuing theater, but I was invited to a show at Improv Olympic, which is sort of the home of long-form improv in the United States of America. It's where it was born, this version of improv, that is. And when I saw what they were doing, which was taking one suggestion and creating a 30-minute completely improvised piece with three storylines that wrapped up, I was awestruck. And I immediately started taking classes there. And I studied in Chicago for 10 years, and then we moved here in 2004. My husband, Lawrence, who's also my business partner and our music director, we moved here to open Improv Acadia. And part for me, it was what Aaron said a lot, like the sort of the vulnerability, but also the courage it takes to get up there. And then on top of all of that, trying the thing about improv is that you don't try to be funny. You try to work with people, and that's how you make funny happen.
So just natural interaction of human beings trying to work together is funny.
Yeah, it's the whole idea of the whole concept, like the golden rule of improvisers is yes and. And so it means anything you do, I'm going to say yes to, I'll accept. And then the and is my part. It's equally as important so that I'm offering while you're offering. And when we do that together, it's like a layer cake, the best kind of improv. Layer cake, vegan or nut-free, whatever you need. And it's the best kind.
I was going to say, yeah, maybe you're not trying to make people laugh, but I suspect that the kind of people who are attracted to improv are kind of pretty funny anyway.
I think so, yeah. I mean,
yeah. So I want to explore the different kinds because I understand each of your theaters does a different kind of improv. And so, Aaron, you have playback style theater, a specific kind of improv. Tell me about it.
Yes.
What's playback?
So playback theater is when audience members volunteer. They raise their hands, they come up, and they tell a story from their life, a true story. And we immediately enact that through the art of improvisation. And we use movement, music, dialogue to honor their real lived experience.
Wait, are you doing it as they're telling it, or do they tell it and then sit down and then you do it?
They tell it, they sit in what we call the teller's chair, a place of honor right up front, and then we go right into it without conversing or having a huddle or anything. We just go right into the enactment. And as you can imagine, this opens up the spectrum of experience significantly because people live all kinds of amazing stories and live amazing lives. And our mission as a playback company is to honor that range of experience and really find the unique and the universal in everyone's story.
Hmm. So if you're playing back somebody's story, are your actors using words?
They may be, or they may not be. It depends on what the person we call the conductor for the evening chooses as a form. So we know our playback company regularly uses about 20 different forms, some of them shorter, some of them longer, some of them more movement-based, others more verbal. Sometimes it's a song, an improvised song you'll get for a playback. Other times it might be a silent, moving playback. So we rely a lot on metaphor and, sensing each other's energy on stage. And deep listening really is the foundation for everything.
Deep listening. It's in my notes here. Deep listening is really important. It's it sounds a little scary to me. Okay, so not the deep listening, but improv in front of an audience to a story you only heard a second ago. That seems like something. Alan, tell me about the kind of improv the focus group does.
Well, we use a variety of different games. As we're largely self-taught, what we do has kind of evolved. I view it as sort of almost a parallel evolution vibe as far as the sorts of games that we play. We play variations on a number of really popular improv games. We do a game called the Four Square, which involves four people standing in, a square, directed by another actor who is receiving suggestions from the audience for each pairing, and they're rotated through. We do a game called the Deconstruction, which is a series. Some call it montage, others call it scenarios, but it's basically one large scene that serves as the inspiration for subsequent sort of spin-off scenes. And our foundation is our take on the classic form called The Herald, which is the three-act, three-storyline form that the Jen was talking about just a few minutes ago, where you have sort of three scenes play out. You have a sort of group game, the sort of 1B, 2B, 3B kind of situation, another group game. And then ideally you find a way to bring the three storylines together at the end. Sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. And that's part of the joy, I think, of improv, is because you go out there and you can have all the intentions in the world for how you think something is going to play out. And all it takes is one loose screw somewhere in there, and you're going to go into a wildly different direction that will be just as much fun and just as engaging, both for those of us on the stage and for those people sitting in the audience.
Mm-hmm. Now, Jen, you do short form improv, right?
Yeah, I do.
Mainly.
Mainly. My background is in long form. That's what I learned at Improv Olympic. That's the home of the Herald, the form that Alan's talking about. But when we moved here, we decided to delve into short form. So what that means, the way our show looks, is we get a suggestion before each small piece that we do. And the pieces can range from a couple of minutes to 20 minutes long.
So what's a suggestion, someone? And this is from the audience?
Yeah, all the suggestions are from the audience.
So what might be a typical, not typical, but what have you gotten?
So we do things like, we always close our first act with something we call Lawrence's Choice. That's our music director and my husband. And we get a title for a music, an original title for a musical. It's never been seen. So we've had things like Lobsters in Love. We've had Hey, Put That Down. we've had Poopy to Nosy. That was one of my favorites because I didn't hear it the way other people did, and I took it as a character name, and I was like, what a great name. And then later somebody was like, you heard it, right? And I was like, oh, now I hear it. But I was trying to think of it real positive. And so we get things like, sometimes we might get a hobby. We might get what's something somebody did today. And we always close our show with an audience-based story. So someone comes and tells us their love story from beginning to now, and we act that all out for them. Then we show them, we kind of do a this is your life kind of moment for them. So the suggestions can be really ranging from, and it's funny because I don't know if I'd be interested if you two talk. We always talk about how to get like different gets. Because like in August, we get like kayak 1 million times. And I always am like, what's a different thing that people do outside besides kayak? In Bar Harbor, it's kayak.
Well, it's really funny. Whale watch, exactly, Jennifer. And this is something, because we get a lot of audience suggestions as well. And this is something that that we've actually picked up from having watched Jen and Lawrence and the IA crew. When you ask for a suggestion, burn a couple. Like the ones that you always get, like what's an example of something that you do outside, like kayaking or whale watching, mm-hmm. or... And so you can kind of burn through the ones that you've heard a million times and maybe get something with a little bit of freshness to it.
Okay. So I want to ask you, Jen, 15 years now since you came to Maine and started Improv Academy. Improv Acadia. I don't know why I'm having a hard time saying that. How has the improv community changed in those 15 years here in Maine?
Well, it's kind of interesting because when we started the plans to open Improv Acadia in 2000, and when we would go and tell people, like, we're looking for a space for an improv theater, people would just stare at us blankly, and they'd say, I don't know what that is. I don't know. And we even got the classic, I can't see that, and I'm not kidding you. I got the classic Mainer response, I can't see that. And I was like, well, like, we take suggestions. And so that's where we were at in 2004. And when we opened, we sort of likened ourselves to Whose Line Is It Anyway, which was big at that time. And so when we moved here, there wasn't a lot of improv. There were some at the colleges. I believe Colby and Bowdoin both had college student groups. But there wasn't sort of a large amount of improv in the state yet. And then about 5 years after we opened, along comes the focus group. And then there was an improv festival here in Portland run by Running with Scissors. Yep. Soon after that, Teacher's Lunch Mafia came along, and just all these groups started appearing. Some people were teaching themselves. Some people had gone away to New York or Chicago or Boston and brought the art form back. And so now when the Improv Festival happened, the first one happened 4 years ago?
Yeah, 4 years
ago. 4 years ago. It was kind of amazing because I suddenly was like, it's gone from a handful of people doing this, you know, under 50, to I was saying today when I met Alan for coffee, I was like, we got to be approaching 500 people, which means we're about to take a quantum leap forward in improv. We're at a tipping point, I think. Exactly. Thank you, Aaron. Thanks for the support.
Well, Aaron, tell me about the founder of Portland Playback. I understand you lost him recently, but he really had a philosophical reason for doing playback improv, right?
Yeah, David LeGraff was a wonderful man and leader and mentor and teacher to many of us. And he actually was given the idea to start a playback company in Maine. And in 2005, they had their first meeting. And so I didn't join the company until 2008. But, you know, still, that means I've been with the company for 10 years. And many of the original members are still with the group. David, he was a philosopher. He loved talking philosophy, and he had a really serious side that you didn't always see when he was performing, because he was very, very funny and was especially known also in the community for his theatrical roles. In fact, we had a memorial show honoring mentors in general, and David in particular, if anyone had stories about him. And there was a man who came up who had played next to him in Sweeney Todd, who had been murdered multiple times by David. And he was always impressed by the different improvised ways he could murder. And so that was just a very funny story about David's bringing improv into his community theater as well. And yes, he is dearly missed.
All right. And tell me about the beginning of the festival, Improv Me.
Yeah, the Improv Me Festival. Yeah, it started because we were just talking about the Portland Improv Festival, which had a lovely run of 2 or 3 years, I think, where we were invited down to participate. And as a group, the focus group, we had a marvelous time. Like, it was wonderful to be in this space with so many improvisers coming at it from so many different directions. Like, the energy was just was wild, and it was just so sort of inspirational in a way to just see how many different ways we could approach this this art form. And then the Portland Festival went dormant, and we saw a need. And so what we decided to do was, let's put on a show. And so
we have a barn.
Yeah, we have a wonderful relationship with it's called the Next Generation Theater in our area. Tracy Marceron owns and operates it. And
what town?
It's in Brewer.
In Brewer, okay.
Yep, right across the river. about 5 years ago is when we started planning. And the idea was to focus largely on main groups, and certainly like New England only. Like, that was our goal, to stay fairly close to home. And we just started reaching out to groups that we had met through the Portland Festival. You know, if we had a passing acquaintance with some folks, and so that's how we got to know folks like Dan Ryder, who runs Teachers Lounge Mafia out in Western Maine,
which is the best name, by the way.
Yeah, it's a fantastic, and they're all educators, and it's just they do lovely stuff. We talked to the folks in Running with Scissors down this way. And reached out a little farther afield, the Providence Improv Guild out of Providence, Rhode Island. The folks at Improv Boston have been great friends to the festival. They've sent a team all 4 years that we've done it. And it was just an opportunity to kind of get everyone together and really have some fun getting to know all the different improvisers around, and just getting a chance to bring something like that to life was really great. And so we'll be marking our 5th year here the first weekend in November, November 2nd and 3rd, at the Next Generation Theater in Brewer.
Very well done. We do have to take a break. We're talking about improv comedy. The phone number, 1-800-399-3566. You can send us an email. talk@mainpublic.org is the address. Tweet @MaineCalling or post to our Facebook page. We'll be right back.
You make Maine Calling possible, as does Evergreen Home Performance, helping homeowners address climate change with energy audits, window replacement, and insulation. More at evergreenyourhome.com.
Hey, it's Luke Burbank. This week on LiveWire, YouTube sensation Hannah Hart on growing up on the wrong side of the tracks.
And so it's only when you get older and you start like going to sleepovers or going to other people's houses or becoming self-aware in a social environment, when I was like, oh, other kids have socks.
All that and more this week on LiveWire from PRI.
Join us for LiveWire this evening at 11 o'clock here on Maine Public Radio. Well, also this week on The Maine Event, Sunday evening at 5:30 on Maine Public Television, join former Democratic Speaker of the Maine House, Hannah Pingree, and Republican State Senator Roger Cates for the primary election countdown. Each week, Hannah and Roger will be covering all of the candidates running in the Maine primaries this season. In this hour-long special, Hannah moderates a discussion between two Republican candidates, Garrett Mason and Mary Mayhew, running for the governor's seat in Maine. That's on The Maine Event, Sunday evenings at 5:30 on Maine Public Television.
Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on the program, Improv in Maine. Joining me in our studio, Jen Shepherd, who is co-founder and owner of Improv Acadia. Aaron Curran is a member of Portland Playback Theater, and Alan Adams is a member and co-owner of the Focus Group, as well as the organizer of the Improv Me Festival. And when is that, Alan?
November 2nd and 3rd at the Next Generation Theater in Brewer, Maine.
Ooh.
We invite you to join the conversation. Call 1-800-399-3566. Send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to our Facebook page. A Facebook post from the Veterinary and Rehabilitation Center of Cape Elizabeth. Love this. We do an improv session every year with a comedian as team building, and it's so much fun. Do you all do things like that? Do you work with businesses and
yes.
organizations for team building?
Yeah, absolutely. Improv has huge applications, obviously, in business for teamwork, but also it has huge applications in and the teamwork applications would be things like listening, honoring one another's ideas, being really present, not listening to the conversation inside your head. But for people that have a creative aspect to their job, like marketing people, they actually use improv to generate ideas, because the idea of yes and is a huge way to generate group ideas quickly. And then also to support things that might not otherwise be supported and find new avenues that it's not just my mind, it's Aaron's mind, Alan's mind, it's all of our minds coming together.
All right. And I understand, Aaron, that improv can also be used in a therapeutic way.
Yeah. And playback in particular, sometimes if there are communities where there are voices that aren't being heard, and there's a wide range of applications that you can imagine. Playback can be used to give voice to people who are populations who are underserved. From the beginning, Playback Theater really made a point as their mission. It was Jonathan Fox and Joe Salas who in 1975 came up with the playback forms. And really brought it from the beginning into prisons, into assisted living homes, into conferences, schools, all kinds of applications so that people could tell their story and have their experience honored, acknowledged, to have a sense of belonging and a sense of mattering in the world and really being deeply heard. So unlike pure comedy improv, playback does have this range of emotion that I happen to love about doing it. It's one of the things that makes it deeply gratifying work and play.
We'll go to Kate, who's calling from Portland. Hi, Kate. Go ahead.
Hey, thanks for having me on. I'm a member of a long-form improv group in Portland called Boxed Wine, with a question mark at the end. And my comment, I guess, is when we started Boxed Wine, I've been doing theater and sketch comedy in Portland for a couple of years, but I'd never heard of an improv group in the Portland area. And now I have a bit more, like, awareness, but I wish there were more crossover and collaboration, maybe at least socializing between local improv groups. And I wonder why we don't have that, and I'd love to see it happen.
I think that if I can speak to that, first of all, hey, Kate, I know Boxed Wine. You were on my list of people to mention because I know Lacey Lee. And I think it's I think that's interesting because I think it sort of speaks to the ruralness of Maine, is that it's interesting that you were came along in 2005, and yet I didn't know about you, and I'm not sure you knew about us. It's so strange because we're not that far away from each other, but geographically we are separated, and then there's the whole weather thing. there was the whole winter. So I think in Bangor it's starting, and because of the improv festival, there's been more crossover, and I'm hoping that's starting to grow. We started a space with Penobscot Theater in the winter, and I'm hoping to invite more people to come down there because, yeah, I want to know all the improvisers. In Chicago, we're all in about a five-mile area. So we run in, you can't, you know, like holler without an improviser hollering right back at you. And that's, I think in Maine, that's going to start as the population gets bigger.
And Alan, are you the glue with the festival?
I mean, I guess.
Yes, yeah. Alan is the glue.
He's
the peanut butter.
And it's one of those things where we've been really lucky in that it's been a great opportunity to sort of accelerate that that notion of community in a way that, again, geographic distance is a huge issue. Like, it's just, that's just the way it is. And so you have these sort of almost isolated outposts of mm-hmm. like-minded people. I feel like in our area, we've really kind of gotten that sort of collaborative spirit up and going. Like, you know, Jen and Lawrence and other, you know, IA regulars have performed with the focus group on a number of occasions. And members of the focus group have been lucky enough to participate in shows at the 51 Main space that IA runs during their winter season. So it's like, we're getting there. And I think and I don't think there's any reason why that can't happen in Portland as well.
Yeah.
All right, Kate, thanks so much for calling in. We have a tweet from the Fresnel Theater.
Oh, yes.
Agrees with Jen Shepherd. Quote, "We don't try to be funny." Exactly. Spot on. Funny happens. It can't be forced.
The Fresnel Theater is a theater that's opening here in Portland. They're new. They're from Portland, Oregon. It's run by Matt and Krista, and they just found a space on Free Street, and they're doing their hard open on July 7th. So Portland's about to have its own dedicated improv theater, which is very exciting. It's going to have a comedy sports aspect, but they're also, which is short form improv, but they're also, I believe, going to do long form improv. Erin is shaking her head like, yeah, I got that right.
I have some friends who are part of that.
So
and
do
it's,
I.
It's really exciting.
Yeah,
yeah.
I know, right? Yeah. It's so cool.
Well, you said they're going to have their own space.
Yes.
Does that mean that most improv groups don't have their own space?
Yes.
That you're borrowing, begging and borrowing, and how does somebody find out about you and your performances?
Well, we've really taken to social media. Like, that's really been the primary driver for us. We're incredibly blessed in that we have regular access to not just one but two performance spaces, because we not only the Next Generation Theater, but the Bangor Arts Exchange, which is a relatively new performance space based in Bangor. And so we've been really lucky in that we've had those. They're not dedicated spaces, like they don't belong to us, but we have regular spots. And I think it's a similar situation with what the Playback has as well.
Yeah, I have to give a shout out to Portland Media Center, formerly CTN5. We've been there for many years now, doing two public performances a month, the first and third Fridays of every month. You can find Portland Playback Theater at the Portland Media Center, which is right next to Mecca on Congress Street.
So it's part of First Friday.
It is part of First Friday.
And then the third Friday as well.
Yep, and that means that tonight we have a show, and doors open at 7, and showtime is 7:30.
Okay, and just generally speaking, if someone goes to a search engine and types in improv, Maine, are they going to find upcoming performances? Are you guys, you know, do you have to be in the know on your social media feed, or can you find it?
Yeah, like you'll be able to track it down if you want to find it. But you know, I'm sure we all have face presences and Twitter presences and all that stuff.
We have a website.
Yeah.
We do too. PortlandPlayback.com.
ImprovAcadian.com.
And we will put links on our Facebook page and our webpage for all of you. Dan writes on Facebook, speaking of social media, "A shout out to my good friends Jen Shepherd and Alan Adams. They are amazing ambassadors of improv comedy in Maine. Dan says, I just hosted improv comedy Mud Bowl at Mount Blue in Farmington.
Yeah.
Over 200 folks watched six high school and adult improv teams from around the state and Rhode Island. My team, Teachers Lounge Mafia, has been going strong for 10 years.
Yes.
I deliver workshops around the country on how to use the improviser's mindset, accept, communicate, trust, to drive innovation, leadership, and change. Well, thanks, Dan, for posting. And I'm thinking that teenagers must be great at this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 Teenagers take to it. And so do real little kids already know how to do it. You know, they're yes and is what they do on the playground. It's like a natural state of being.
Yeah. I mean, it's imagination and storytelling. Yeah, yeah. Like, you know, like kids are they're just wired that way.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll go to Liz in North Yarmouth. Hi, Liz. Go ahead.
Hi, Jennifer. I'm really enjoying the conversation. This is I've been teaching music and theater for about 20 years with my students, and improv has always been a big part of it. It's just a great way, I agree, for kids to, inspire confidence and felicity on stage. They're just amazing at it. And given a little push, they can really be very creative. So,
well, Liz, I'm going to put you on the spot. Oh, go ahead. Were you going to have a question?
No, go ahead.
Okay, well, so apparently my guests here in the studio are game for a little improv. Oof. And that there's a game called Dr. Know-It-All. Jen, you want to explain this?
So the way it works is Aaron and Alan and I have just become one person with three brains, and we're an expert in all things. So we can take we can take a question, and we're going to answer it one
word
at
a time.
All right. So I'm going to put you on the spot, Liz. You didn't know this was going to happen.
Improv, Liz, improv.
Yes, and.
And
yes,
you're going to ask them anything you want to know. What do you want to know?
Oh, can you explain what the most beautiful setting for dinner on a boat would be like?
Dinner
on
a boat
would
be
most
beautiful.
If
you
sat
only forward
on
the boat,
period.
That's it. That's all we got for you. Just
that
sit was forward.
That was expert.
Because if you, cause if you sit back,
you're going to vomit.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, yeah. Thank you.
Forward. Liz, thanks for your
It's weird to
call.
Do improv without an audience.
It is. We're like,
tough room.
It is tough crowd.
Liz, thanks for your call. We'll move on to Tara, who's calling from Portland. Hi, Tara. Go ahead.
Hi. And I want to say hi to Jen.
Hi, Tara.
Alan, hi, Tara.
And Aaron. And I'm calling. I'm a new member of Fresnel. New cast member of Fresnel Theater here in Portland, and the rehearsals of that have been super fun, and I'm really excited to work with a new set of improvisers. Like Jen, I'm an old lady of improv, so it's exciting.
Tara, can I put you on the spot for a Dr. Know-It-All?
Really? Are you sure?
Sure.
Okay, ask him a question.
What's the fastest way to get on stage?
The
fastest
way
to
get on stage
is
by moving
as
a force
to
reckon with.
If
you do
that,
you will
get
applause, accolades,
acclaim,
and fame.
Period.
Tara, I think Alan likes saying period.
Thank you. Alan's a very serious person.
Thank you so much for calling in, and good luck to Fresnel.
Oh, really quickly, Tara is one of those people. She is an improv force in this region. She's been a participant in the Improv Me Festival with two different groups over the years.
Stranger Than Fiction.
Stranger Than Fiction, which is actually a Portsmouth, New Hampshire based.
So we'll
outfit.
Act like they don't exist.
Right. We know, we're not talking
awesome.
About them. And she was also part of a group called the Improvised Puppet Project.
Yes.
That was just
awesome.
Remarkable. So yeah. So Tara is the scene is lucky to have her, and the Fresnel is lucky to have her.
Thank you, Tara. The Portland Fringe Festival Theater just wrote in. Port Fringe loves our improv artists. Next month, we will feature improv shows in next month's 7th Port Fringe Festival, including Portland's Turkey Club, this time with Mayo. And from New York City, we will host IRTE and their improv show, Wowee, Adventure of a Little Girl Killbot. So details of these shows and the other performances at Port Fringe Com. So we are going to have to go to another quick break. We are talking about improv in Maine. When we come back, more of your comments and questions. Stay with us.
Hi, my name is Maddie, and I love Bullseye because the way that Jesse Thorne interviews everyone, it really seems like there are questions that they've never been asked before.
I'm Jesse Thorne. This week, I talk with Robert Smigel, writer, director, and voice of Triumph the Insult Comic Dog, plus actress Gillian Jacobs. That's on the next Bullseye from MaximumFun.org and NPR.
Join us for Bullseye tonight at midnight here on Maine Public Radio. Maine Public is proud to be a media sponsor of the inaugural Abbey Museum Indian Market. Today through Sunday, on the Village Green in Bar Harbor, the market, which is free and open to the public, features more than 75 Native American artists and performers from 35 nations across the U.S. and Canada. For details on the market, please visit mainepublic.org and click on Events.
And welcome back. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You're listening to Maine Calling. Today on the program, the world of improv theater in Maine. Joining me in our studio, Jen Shepherd, who is co-founder and owner of Improv Acadia. Aaron Curran is member of Portland Playback Theater. And Alan Adams is co-owner of The Focus Group. He also organizes a big festival in November. Our conversation is welcome. Please join our conversation at 1-800-399-3566. Jen, do you have a season?
Yeah, we do. We open this coming Friday, May 25th, and then we're open through this year through Saturday, October 13th. We kind of always go the Friday Memorial Day weekend through the Saturday after Indigenous Peoples Day.
And is it how many nights a week? How do you?
In the height of the season, it's 7. But in the most of the time, it's 6. So the height for, in case, I think everyone in Maine knows, but maybe they don't. For us, that's like the end of July to August or July, August kind of thing.
So how many people will come to a show? How many people in a theater?
So our theater, Now I'm caught your
thing. I'm sorry. It's the Friday fumbles, I think.
Our theater seats 50 people, and our first show of the night.
So it's pretty intimate.
Yeah, it's very intimate. Our first show of the night, particularly in the height of the season, is family friendly. That's at 8 o'clock. And at 10 o'clock, it's not so much. And we hire a rotating cast of about 25 performers. We use some local folks, and then we hire a lot of people to come in from Chicago. Maine is like one of those bucket list places for people. They just really want to see it before they kick the bucket, I guess. It got real dark. I'm going back to Spanish flu from yesterday.
Alan, do you have a season?
We're pretty much ongoing. As a rule, we tend to do about one performance a month. It's always on a Friday night. We alternate between our home at the Next Generation Theater and the Bangor Arts Exchange basically every other month. We appear there. The Next Gen seats, the capacity is right around 125. We rarely fill it.
Maybe you will now.
Yeah,
when's
right?
your next performance?
Yeah. Our next performance is actually at the Bangor Arts Exchange, which is it will be a week from today, May 25th. Doors open at 7:30. Show starts at 8 p.m. And it admission is just $5.
All right. And Aaron, you mentioned Fridays, the first and third Friday of every month. Are there shows outside of that?
We do get hired to do both private, corporate, and nonprofit gigs around the state generally. It's a great way to celebrate a birthday, a milestone, retirement. We've done weddings. It's just a range. So, yeah.
Thanks. We'll go to Rachel, who's calling from Portland. Hi, Rachel. Go ahead.
Hi. How are you?
Great.
You know, it's funny because I'm listening and I think there are more improvers calling than not.
Yeah.
So I ran the Portland Improv Festival for 4 years.
Yes.
And I unfortunately called it because my mom was ill. But I have been on your show before with Bob Marley on talking about comedy.
Oh, hi, Rachel.
Hi, how are you? So I guess my point that I wanted to talk about was sort of, I love Playback because of their, it's therapeutic. And improv, generally, audiences are more generous. and because they admire the performer's ability to just go with anything, and they watch in awe, even when it's not funny, which is not really the point. They're there to laugh.
Wow.
But maybe you guys could talk about with playback. I would love to hear about sort of the therapeutic part and maybe a memory of something that was an emotional, you know, movement for somebody.
Sure. Yeah, I'd be happy to respond to that. One example that comes to mind from our last show, which was May First Friday, like I mentioned, it was a tribute show to David LeGraff, our former artistic director who passed last summer. And, you know, one of his granddaughters got up to tell a story about him. And it was a beautiful moment where she was acknowledging, you know, remembering being over at his house for pizza. You know, he died unexpectedly, and this was just a short time before he passed. And so her story was very simple. You know, they went over to his house for pizza. They spent the afternoon together. Just the love in their bond came through really strongly. And we played that back. I believe we may have done an improvised song. It may have been, I can't remember the exact form that we chose for that. But it was a very poignant, touching story. It was really not funny in the kind of funny ha-ha way, but it was such an important acknowledgement of, spending time together, especially when we don't know how much time we have with someone, which is the nature of life. And like I said before, it's one of the reasons that I'm so drawn to playback as a form. It really embraces the complexity, the nuance, the holding of, you know, love and all of it. And so there are many examples like that where people have come and shared stories. And again, I'm always awestruck by the experiences people live. These are stories that I wouldn't be able to hear unless I was invited to their kitchen table, or sharing a holiday meal with them. And here they are sharing them. It's a very safe and close community, and it's community building. When you're in the audience, you feel like you get to know people. People linger after the show. It's a great way to make new friends, and it's a great place to bring friends, family. It's a great place to bring a date because you really have a lot to talk about after.
Rachel, thanks for your call. Wesleya on Facebook writes, I am a non-theater person who has had the privilege to study with Jen and Lawrence. Nothing has been scarier, but nothing has been more, he goes on, nothing has been more transferable to working with kids, which I do, or life in general. Yes, and is a great mantra that reminds me to listen, pay attention, and trust in process.
Yeah, that's, yes.
We'll go to Rich, who's calling about from Sebago Lake. Hi, Rich, go ahead.
Hi, Jen. Hey, first of all, somebody said it was so difficult doing a little improv on the air because they didn't have an audience. Picture all the people sitting in their driveways right now who can't walk into the house because they don't want to tear themselves away from this show.
Aww, thank you.
That's really very, that's very sweet.
Quick story about improv back in the 70s. There was a great little restaurant in Portland. I waited tables there working my way through college. And it was a natural foods restaurant called the Hollow Reed. And it was a little incongruous, but they had a lounge, and an improv group would come in once a week or once every couple weeks. And they were so much fun. We had a great time with them. But there was one family that I used to wait on quite a bit. And it was a man, I guess at that time in his 50s. And he looked like the type who had just eaten steak and potatoes his whole life. But his wife and three daughters loved the Hollow Reed, all the natural foods, and they were into the sprouts and everything. And when he gave me his order, he'd order a salad, but he'd say, "Leave the hair off of my salad."
The sprouts?
The sprouts. Alfalfa sprouts.
Both, I guess?
But one night, they dragged him into the lounge to watch the improv group. And I was cleaning up out in the dining room. And I hear this loud guffaw come from the lounge. I go in and take a look. Yeah. And he has tears rolling down his eyes. And I kind of tipped off the improv group about this family, and they'd done a little skit about him, and he loved it.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Rich, thanks for calling and sharing that story. I appreciate it. We're going to go to Brett, who's calling from Sanford. Hi, Brett. Go ahead.
Hey, how's it going, everybody?
Great.
Great. Thank you.
I just want to share with you that I think why improv is so special to me is I don't view it as a comedy. I view it as an art form, really. And why I think it should be viewed that way is it's a dying art, really, interpersonal communication. And that's what's happening. When you see improv, it's really just forcing people to connect with each other. And in 2018, people don't do that very well. We connect with each other through social media and computers, great. But when we're forced to listen to each other and be in the moment, that's rare these days. And that's why I think improv is such a special thing. And so I just wanted to throw that out there. Also, I just want to share that I had a wonderful improv experience up at Improv Acadia with my wife on a date a couple of years ago. And so I don't know which of you works there, but congratulations, because you've done a great job with that space. And it's just an exquisite experience. And I can't put it up highly enough.
Oh. Thank you so much. You're going to bring tears to my eyes.
Brett,
thank you.
That's Jen. I've got another one to bring tears to your eyes. John from Trumbull, Connecticut. I didn't know what improv was until my wife and I attended an Improv Acadia show back in 2008. We never laughed so hard at any show. Since then, we've watched the fall crowds grow from small to filled up during the past 10 years. We especially like the musical skits. Looking forward to another season. So there you go.
Bravo. Thank you. That's so nice.
Yeah,
that's so
great.
Nice. I wanted to say something to what you said, Aaron, about the stories. I'm amazed at what people will share on stage if they feel like there's respect or communication in the room, if people are really sharing and supporting each other. Mm-hmm. Audience members will come up, and we've had some incredible, even in our improv comedy show, because we do focus heavily on the comedy. Mm-hmm. And that sounds weird. People will come up and share. We've had some amazing stories, including a man who came, and it turned out we were on his bucket list. He was literally in the last years, months of his life, and one place he wanted to come was our theater. And I thought we were all going to fall over from the crying that started. And talk about lingering like that night.
Sure.
Nobody wanted to leave. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because laughter sometimes is, I think, put under drama and something, like put down, I mean. Mm. And sometimes improv is like the redheaded stepchild of theater. Mm. But the truth is that laughter is very transformative, I think, and especially now.
Well, there's just something so cathartic.
Cathartic,
about it.
Yes.
Both, and on both sides. Like, you know, in the audience, it feels good to laugh. And on the stage, it feels so good to elicit such an honest and unguarded response. From people, like when you catch someone unawares, or you find just that exact right thing that's going to click with someone, and you know, you may make them remember something or whatever it doesn't. Mm-hmm. But it's just the idea of there's such a strength there, and people feel comfortable because they feel listened to.
Mm. And I have to add that in playback shows, you know, a lot of times people are most comfortable sharing a story that they can laugh at. Either they're laughing at themselves, they have enough retrospect on something that it is funny. I mean, we're most comfortable sharing things that are funny. So oftentimes our shows have a lot of humor in them and they're very lighthearted. My point was just that it's the range, you know, mm-hmm. you can have a poignant, touching story right alongside a very funny one. So
sure. In our last couple of minutes, Bob from South Portland wants to give a shout out to Tim Farrell, who brought improv and stand-up education to Portland 30 years ago. He says he was fortunate to be in a number of his classes and went on to be a part of a group, a very funny, an improv group called Loosen Up. We have, just a little bit of time for you guys to answer it, but I think it's a good question. Mark in Ellsworth asks, when you're working with people who are new to improv, how do you handle people who try to hog the limelight or go off on their own tangents?
Well, I think it's the interesting thing about improvisation is that it doesn't really allow for that. One person can't build, as my friend Amy Rader always says, we're not asking you to bring a church, we're asking you to bring a brick.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's something like that. She'll put it up. That's not right. That's close.
Well, I'm so sorry to everybody I haven't been able to get to this hour. Please post on our Facebook page if you want to continue the conversation. And thank you to our guests here. Jen Shepherd, co-founder and owner of Improv Acadia, whose season starts May 25th. Aaron Curran, a member of Portland Playback Theater, first and third Fridays of every month here in Portland.
We have a show tonight.
Tonight. Yeah. And it's right next to Mecca.
Yep. It's at the Portland Media Center. Doors open at 7. Showtime is 7:30. And the theme is Mama Tales in honor of Mother's Day.
Oh, my. Alan Adams, member and co-owner of the Focus Group and also organizer of the Maine Improv Festival, May 25th.
Yes, we'll be at the Bangor Arts Exchange in Bangor on May 25th. And don't forget to mark your calendars. The Improv Me Festival, November 2nd and 3rd at the Next Generation Theater in Brewer.
Roddy Nickpour ran the board today. Annie DeSaucer helped produce today's program. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You've been listening to Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio.